You're listening to A Call to True Beauty on WCLK. I'm Daphne Walker, your host. Tonight, we are talking on the issue of domestic violence and the law. We have Lieutenant Janet Brady with the Atlanta Police Department, Special Victims Unit, and Louis Negron with Lux & Associates, who's a domestic violence advocate and a doctoral student here at Clark Atlanta University. We want to thank you for calling us tonight to talk about the issue of domestic violence and the law. We had some great calls this evening, but if you're still interested in calling us, you can give us a call at 404-880-9255, 404-880-9255. Lieutenant Brady, one of the things I want to talk with you about is if the victim is a female, and I know that you have both male and female officers at the Atlanta Police Department, but I have come in, I've been in an abusive relationship, maybe it's been domestic violence and sexual assault, which can sometimes be combined, and I say, you know what, I'm just really reluctant to talk to a male police officer. You know, I just had a really traumatic situation. Does a victim have that option to say, look, my comfort level is not where it should be, and I'm just not interested in speaking with a male officer, or vice versa, if it was a man who was sexually assaulted that prefers to speak with a male or a female officer?
Yes, definitely. We have several female investigators and in our unit that can talk to a female if she's uncomfortable talking about any kind of abuse or sexual abuse with a male. We'll assign a female detective. We have those requests not often, but fairly regularly. So, and we do try to accommodate the victims as far as, you know, providing a female that can talk with them.
And that's not something that's unusual. You all recognize that may just be where that person is as a result of their trauma.
That, yes, we definitely recognize it and we're sensitive to it.
Do you see any cultural difference, Louis, sometimes where individuals may be reluctant to talk to either a male or female police officer just because of their cultural background?
Yeah, we definitely see that, especially within the Latino community. I can definitely say that with it being the machismoism, which is the male-dominated culture sometimes, and that will cause pause or haste sometimes from a female victim of speaking up or saying certain things. But I can definitely say that when they see me of my stature, you know, I'm at a 6'5". I'm a big guy. So sometimes Eddie's a little shorter than me. So sometimes, you know, when they see him, they may be more open and to speak to him. But I definitely say that, you know, it's a matter of how it's approached and broached and how we speak to them. It definitely breaks down the cultural barriers for that and for them.
Okay. Please give us a call, 404-880-9255. This is A Call to True Beauty. We're taking your calls on domestic violence and the law. We have Lee in Atlanta on the line. Thanks for calling us, Lee.
Hi. Question. I know self-defense, and I'm married, and I have a big husband, and like the guy just said, he's like 6'5", and I'm a little person. And suppose we get in an altercation, and I just knock him out, and then I call the police, but it doesn't show that I have any scars. Am I subject to the dual arrest?
Lieutenant Brady?
Well, I mean, it just depends on the totality of the circumstances and what our investigation would reveal. You know, we would try to get statements once again. I've kind of covered this once or twice, get statements from everyone, look at the physical evidence, and then make a determination. I mean, it's possible that, you know, if we determine that we thought you were the primary aggressor, yes, I mean, we could theoretically, yes, at that point, make an arrest.
So,
So it seems like I just have to back off and just leave, because I'm not going to let this guy hit me. I'm going to do all I can to really defend myself, but I'm thinking that it's going to look like I'm the aggressor.
So, Lieutenant Brady, let's talk a little bit about that, to Lee's point. You know, when it gets to the level of self-defense versus that person being a primary aggressor. And one of the things I know you pointed out is very fact-specific. I mean, we can't give a cut-and-dry answer for each case because I know you all would have to talk to witnesses, look at the scene, and look at evidence. But is it better to just walk away, you know, as opposed to if you can have an opportunity to retreat, to go ahead and retreat or walk away as opposed to continuing to engage that person and trying to defend yourself?
I think it depends on the circumstances, but yes, definitely at times I think it's better just to walk away. I definitely think, you know, if you can avoid an altercation, it would definitely be the best way to go.
And I know sometimes people feel like they're responding in self-defense, but it is going to be a case-by-case analysis.
Yes, it will.
So one of the things, Lee, I would say about that, I mean, obviously, if someone believes that they're threatened, they have the right under Georgia law to defend themselves in self-defense, but also recognizing that there are going to be people that are going to be second-guessing that decision. And so if, in fact, you have the opportunity to retreat, we try to encourage people to retreat, call the police, say this scenario has happened. If you have to try to defend yourself, defend yourself. Now, we, of course, have seen cases where if you did defend yourself and the evidence does support that this person was attempting to abuse you, you were defending yourself, people are not charged. But that's not always the case. That's something that's decided on a case-by-case basis.
That's correct.
You're listening to A Call to True Beauty on WCOK. I'm Daphne Walker, your host, and we're taking your calls on the issue of domestic violence in the law. As we indicated, we have Lieutenant Janet Brady with the Atlanta Police Department Special Victims Unit talking with us about their domestic violence unit and their efforts to ensure that victims of crime are having their cases adequately addressed by the Atlanta Police Department. We also have Louis Negron, who's a domestic violence advocate with Lux & Associates in their School of Education here at Clark Atlanta University, who also works with domestic violence victims who are non-English speaking. One of the things that I would like to talk with you about, Louis, is what you all do to provide services to individuals who are non-English speaking. Where do you generally refer them for services?
Yes, we definitely, it's a case-by-case basis. It also depends in the county in which they're in. We definitely use this, your services for your organization, and then I know you have the bilingual and then the bilingual services to go with it.
Yes.
We have a collection of private licensed social workers as well as psychologists in the metro area that are bilingual that we work with in the Gwinnett and Cobb County area. And the wonderful thing about that is that, it's a case-by-case basis where we're able to refer them to them and to work with them closely so they'll be able to get the services for them. Also within the school system, I have a collection of social workers in which I'm connected with the metro and within the metro cities here and the counties here that we're able to see if anything happens, we're able to at least know and get the students the help that they need also.
So it looks like it's a broad spectrum of not only private providers, but also partnering with the school districts as well. And that's kind of why we have both of you all to come on tonight, because we do know in an effort for the police department to be successful with these cases, we do have to see these partnerships where there are individuals who are willing to say, look, even with your cultural difference, we need you to contact the police and not fear them, but actually come to them if you have a challenge, and also making sure that they're being provided the services that they need in the community. We have a caller on the line. Her name is Regina. Regina in Decatur, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for calling us tonight. What's your question?
I may fumble this a little, but I'm going to try to get it out. And if you need to chime in to help me, please feel free.
Will do.
I have a loved one who is, I don't believe she has suffered any physical abuse, but it certainly has been mental, emotional, and verbal abuse. And I don't know if you guys have already covered this. I chimed in a little late, but I wanted to know some of the ways that you would advise caring family members to stay in their lane, but help the victim along to maybe help them see a little more clearly, if that's even possible. I'm not a professional, so I need some help.
Oh, well, Regina, thank you for your call. First, I want to ask Lieutenant Brady to address the issue of, is there a crime that can be charged if we're talking about mental, emotional, or verbal abuse?
No, not really. Most of our crimes and our charges are for physical abuse. But I would say that as a family member, I mean, I would encourage you to, you know, just to encourage the person to maybe get counseling, and also to develop a safety plan, and just in case it does turn physical, because the prelude to physical abuse is the verbal and emotional abuse. So that's what I would encourage. And maybe if you have a pastor or clergy member or someone that could speak to the person as well. Just someone that could help them or help them deal with the problem and get through the problem and rectify it and make it better.
And Regina, what I also want to tell you is that to Lieutenant Brady's point, we usually see mental, emotional, and verbal abuse as preludes, they're the beginning, if you will, of what later ends up being physical abuse. And so when that person realizes that the mental, emotional, verbal abuse no longer irritates or frustrates or angers that person or hurts them, then they start to escalate that to what we know to be physical abuse. And so what I also want to encourage you to do is make sure you maintain that dialogue with the person, because statistically, it generally takes a person seven times, if they're in a domestic violence relationship, to go through seven different types of abuse before they decide that they want to leave that relationship. And so what I try to encourage people to say is don't get frustrated. You know, where you say, okay, she's told me this five times already. You know, why am I still having this same conversation with him or her, if that person is a victim of domestic violence? And so what I want you to do is to keep the lines of communication open and make it a situation where that person always feels comfortable coming to you, because what you'll start to realize is she'll start to tell you about things that are escalating. And it may not even be physical abuse with her. She may say, you know what, he took my cat and I haven't been able to find my cat ever since he came over. Or he started spray painting things on my garage. So it's not something physical to that person, but it's damage to their property, which the police can investigate. So what you want to do is keep those lines of communication open. And the other thing, Regina, I want to recommend, we do have a counselor actually in the studio tonight. So if you will want to, I can have you transfer to that counselor tonight so that they can provide you with some other resources that are available to loved ones that are trying to support someone who is a victim of domestic violence, because that is also a process where a person needs support. So I would love to transfer you to that counselor at the end of the call if you would like that.
I would welcome that. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We'll transfer you if you'll just hold on the line. And we thank you for your call, Regina. Good luck to you. You're listening to The Call to True Beauty on WCOK. This program is made possible by Verizon Wireless, the Partnership Against Domestic Violence, and Clark Atlanta University. We appreciate your calls this evening to talk about the issue of domestic violence in the law. Our guests for tonight included Lieutenant Janet Brady with the Atlanta Police Department Special Victims Unit to talk about those resources available with the Atlanta Police Department and the services that they're providing to domestic violence victims. She also talked about the fact that Chief Turner, who is the police chief here in Atlanta, really worked aggressively in the last couple of years to make sure that there was a domestic violence unit in place that focused primarily on victims of domestic violence. And one of the things she talked about was not only them trying to investigate those cases, but putting the resources there, making sure they had eight investigators in that unit that are devoted strictly to domestic violence work and making sure that those cases are investigated. You also heard from Louis Negron, who's a domestic violence advocate with Lux & Associates, who's working on his doctorate degree here at Clark Atlanta University. And he talked to us tonight about the fact that there is cultural difference and there are non-English speaking victims of domestic violence and what resources are available to them and how they can also access the system. And so I know we're about to close our program. What I wanted to do, Lieutenant Brady, was to give you an opportunity just to talk about, I like to say, the highlights. We had a couple of people call and say, I called the police department and, you know, I didn't get the response I hoped for. Are the police going to arrest me? What are the last thoughts you want to leave people with about the Atlanta Police Department and their commitment to victims of domestic violence?
Just that I think that we do very important work, and I'm proud of the work that we do. And I encourage any victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse or any other type of violence to involve the police. Even if you've had a bad experience in the past, I wouldn't give up on the police. I think that we've, you know, come a long way as far as a police department and forming the unit and really trying to investigate these crimes to the fullest and make sure that they're prosecuted and that we, you know, help victims and help them turn their lives around.
And what type of partnerships do you have with the community?
As far as we work with your
Partnership Against
Domestic
Violence.
Partnership Against Domestic Violence. And, we have an Atlanta victim witness unit that reaches out to victims as well. And we work with Grady Rape Crisis on a regular basis. And trying to think of what else. I'm drawing a blank right now. But we definitely try to partner with, we go to churches. We do different community outreach programs whenever we're asked to to try to get the word out about our unit.
Any final words, Lewis?
Yes, I would definitely say, you know, it was a pleasure being out with you guys this evening, but I just want to say sometimes pay attention to the small details, whether it's the social media that the victim may be using or the person, take a look at there, whether it's their Facebook or their Twitter accounts or Instagram. Pictures could tell 1,000 words. And pay attention to the children. Sometimes the children may not speak right away, but if you get them in a situation where how they act, things of that, you know, they may be eating more, than, you know, little small details of things of what the children are going through. But definitely having a safety plan and a plan together is number one. Being a friend, being a good listener is number two. And definitely just being encouraging and an advocate for them.
Thank you for listening tonight to the Call to Tribute on WCOK, made possible by Verizon Wireless, the Partnership Against Domestic Violence, and Clark Atlanta University. I'm Daphne Walker, your host. I want to say thank you to Lieutenant Janet Brady with the Atlanta Police Department Special Victims Unit and Lewis Negron for a great show tonight. Thank you and good night.
You've been listening to the Call to True Beauty. If you want more information about support for anyone in an abusive situation, you can reach the Partnership Against Domestic Violence at 404-873-1766 or visit their website at padv.org. You can listen to this program on demand at WCLK.com. The Call to True Beauty is made possible by Verizon Wireless. Cheryl Selloway is the executive producer. The show is produced for WCLK by Donna Brock and Rob Maynard. Thank you for listening to The Call to True Beauty.